Hi, friends, and welcome to the Root and Rise podcast. My name is Brianne, and with each episode, I intend to plant some seeds of insight, help you water them with love, and send you off with a little extra light to help you root and rise. Today, we are going to talk about temporary solo parenting tips. But first, I would like to acknowledge you, my listener and friend, for being here with me today. You are the reason for this podcast. I appreciate your presence and I'm really excited to help you root and rise. Before I even start this episode, I want to be clear that this solo parenting advice is referring mostly to temporary solo parenting. Although any parent is welcome to take my advice for a very challenging season of parenting. But I feel the need to explain the difference between single parenting and solo parenting because it's not the same thing. These words are sometimes used interchangeably with parents who either co-parent with someone they're separated or divorced from, or a parent who is parenting entirely alone. The other parent is not involved. Whether this is due to the death of their partner, a choice to not be involved, or just temporarily in situations of their partner traveling for work or deployment. Single parents and full-time solo parents do not have a partner around their home to help. At all. Temporary solo parents have a partner who is around to help, but who is just not available to help out for a period of time. This is really important to distinguish because single and full-time solo parents do not have some of the same advantages that temporary solo parents have, like an added income or additional help from their partner, even if they feel like they could use more. The lack of support for them is temporary. I want you to think about an area of your life where you really struggle in and feel like you don't have the support that you deserve, or where you felt like you have overcome against all of the obstacles that life threw at you. Now, imagine someone who is fortunate enough to have more support, more resources, or more money comparing their life to your situation, as if there is no difference or added advantages for them. It can be frustrating and somehow make you feel even worse. This is how it can feel to a single or full-time solo parent to hear a temporary solo parent say or use words that compare their situations. It doesn't give them the credit that they deserve for having to do more, to accomplish more, to overcome more, all while having less support, less resources, or less money than a temporary solo parent. I have too much respect for single and full-time solo parents to even pretend that my season of solo parenting is anything compared to their world. Now that we have that cleared up, let's talk about how to survive temporary solo parenting. From all of the challenges, the do's and don'ts, how to stay connected with your partner from a distance, and how to still find ways to care for yourself in all of the chaos. This episode is going to be full of resources and important information, so be sure to head to the show notes or rootandriseblog.com to bookmark or save the information. You'll need a reminder on your worst solo parenting days, I promise you that. If you've been following along with my podcast, Instagram, or TikTok, you might know that my husband is in the military. I bring this up because my experience with solo parenting has been while he has been away for military training. And because in the military, there is a term sometimes used for the parent that goes away. They are called the non-integrated parent. The reason for this is that they are, even if temporarily, not integrated with the family unit. Another parent is having to fill their shoes. They are more commonly referred to as the deployed parent, but for the sake of keeping this information general to all parents and families and situations, I will continue to use the term non-integrated parent. But before I move on to my tips and advice for surviving a season of solo parenting, I want to offer one specific piece of advice to military families. There are incredibly helpful resources available through Military OneSource for additional support during deployments or training. They even have a special section of Sesame Street videos made specifically for military children called Sesame Street for Military Families, and a full military readiness system is available. Again, these will all be linked in my show notes, or you can find them on my blog. Make sure you use them. They are being offered to you for a reason. Let's talk about the challenges of solo parenting. First one, you don't get breaks. Even times that would normally feel like a nice little break for you, like nap times or in moments of their independent play, you will find yourself needing to decompress a little bit more than usual. You'll use that time trying to catch up on the million things that you're falling behind in. Or maybe you just need to go sit and get in a good cry. No matter how you spend the time, those free moments don't exactly feel like a break anymore. The next challenge, your children will be thrown off. Of course, your child will be missing the non-integrated parent and thrown off because they may not fully understand what's happening or why, and likely cannot cope with these big feelings that they're having. These big feelings can come out in a lot of unexpected or challenging ways. Which takes me to my next challenge, that you are taking on those big feelings for your children. And because your kids are dealing with these challenging feelings and you are the only one around to care for them, you are getting the brunt of all of their emotions. You are dealing with their nap strikes, extreme tantrums, and just general overall frustration and unhappiness. And did I mention that you are doing this all without a real break? The last main challenge I want to bring up is frustration or feelings of failure. It's normal to feel frustrated over tasks piling up or the house being a mess, or just feeling behind in general. Regardless of how much you can actually keep up with the tasks when your partner is home, you most likely will not be as successful at that while they are gone. This can absolutely make you feel like you are failing, which couldn't be further from the truth. To keep you from struggling more than you need to, let's get right into the do's and don'ts and all of my other solo parenting tips. First, the do's and don'ts of surviving solo parenting. Don't hold yourself or your children to your usual standards. This isn't your usual day, week, month, or however long you're solo parenting for. You don't have the same level of support that you normally do. So don't expect the house to be as clean, for the floors to be vacuumed as often, or for the laundry to be maintained as well as it normally is. You may even find yourself slipping in other areas of your life, like your work or any other outside responsibilities. And as for your children, they are struggling too. They miss their routine, they miss their parent, and for as much as you can try to keep your emotions or stress in check, they can still feel it. My son was so upset when my husband left that he went on a complete nap strike. I'm talking no naps at all, which meant he was a complete wreck for over half of the day, only making everything harder on all of us. But he can't help it. He doesn't understand what is happening or why his dad is gone. He couldn't fall asleep for naps because he stayed up crying and screaming for his dada to come snuggle him. It was heartbreaking to watch. And it crushed me to know that he couldn't understand when I was explaining to him that his dad will be back, just not right now. It wouldn't be fair of me to hold him to the same standards or expectations that I do on a normal, average day in our house. They deserve a lot of added grace and tenderness as well. Do be gentle on yourself if things aren't like normal, including you. When we find ourselves not functioning in our normal state, we oftentimes just become harder on ourselves, then creating an even worse state for ourselves to live in mentally. When we reach this point, we are defeated, shut down, or reacting in some very unhealthy ways. Instead, if we can be gentle with ourselves, give ourselves compassion for this unusual and challenging season that we're in, we can prevent ourselves from becoming overwhelmed with self-judgment or overcome with feelings of failure. We are doing our best. If your best while solo parenting doesn't look the same as your best while your partner is here to offer support, that's normal. I posted this recently on TikTok, but our best changes daily anyway. Our capabilities, challenges, mental capacity, and energy levels change daily, and so do our children's. What matters the most is that you are doing your best in that moment. With the circumstances that you are given, your best truly is good enough. Don't follow the same rules, at least not on the hard days. Obviously, I'm not talking about matters of health or safety with this one. It seems silly to need to clarify that all of the time, but there always seems to be someone looking to argue that parents can't loosen up a bit occasionally without it being compared to neglect or carelessness. What I am talking about is rules like when bath time happens, when they start their bedtime routine, and maybe even what's included in that routine, or screen time limits. Rules that you have set because it's how you would like to parent in your ideal world, in your ideal state, with the ideal amount of support. This might not always apply during this temporary period of time. My son had never had screen time until my husband was gone. I then understood why it was so helpful for some parents' mental health. It allowed me to shut off for a moment, to not be actively teaching, entertaining, or being generally just in a very on state, even just for the 10-minute YouTube video I showed him on the different types of animals. You can return to your regular rules once your regular routine returns. Or you can choose to stick to your rules on the days that you feel capable of it. It's completely your choice. I'm just offering a little bit of grace if you need to bend or change the rules for the time being. There is no judgment here, just complete understanding for your situation. Do what you can to get by, however you can. Order pizza on a night that you don't want to cook. Leave the dishes in the sink a little bit longer than usual. This is very similar to my advice about bending the rules, but more specifically about just doing what you need to do so you can survive. Even if that means you aren't necessarily thriving in all of the different areas of your life. If getting by means that your house is messier, but your kids are happier, that seems like a perfectly good compromise to me. Don't stay up late. Please trust me on this one. I know it's so tempting, especially when we all know that nighttime is our time as parents. We can finally chill and do our own thing without having to worry about the kids until morning. Unless they are still waking up during the middle of the night, in which case, I feel you. I've been there for far too long, and I'm sending you extra love and support during this time. But now might not be the time to stay up extra late. Whether you are stress cleaning or watching TikToks, both things that keep me up later than I expect. What if your kids wake up more in the middle of the night? And what if they miss the non-integrated parent when they do? Or what about the chance that they might wake up extra early the next day? Because you know that always happens on the days where we are the most tired. Having time to ourselves is really important. Don't get me wrong. Take that time. Do whatever it is that you need to do to decompress and give back to yourself. Just be aware of the tasks that will await you the next day. Tasks that are probably going to require more energy from you than on a normal day. It wouldn't hurt to give yourself a fairly responsible bedtime while you are solo parenting. Do take every shortcut possible. Curbside groceries? Sign me up. Avoid the added stress of hauling kids around a grocery store. Ordering delivery more often? I approve, as long as it remains within your budget. Cooking easier meals, having lots of mac and cheese, I'm here for it all. Honestly, why make things harder on yourself right now? I'm not saying to just completely disregard your child's health or welfare. Just saying that it's okay to take the easier route while caring for them. I found myself making and eating a lot of mac and cheese because it was an easy meal to make for my toddler. And one I knew that he would not say no to. Plus, I was in that really fun first trimester and just about everything else was making me feel nauseous. I bought a lot of those veggie pouches and peas, knowing that these were easy ways to get his veggies in. Otherwise, he normally eats veggies cooked in more complicated forms, ones that I did not have the energy to make. Think of what your ultimate goals are for each day. And what are surefire, guaranteed, easiest ways to ensure that it happens? Choose that. Are there maybe better, more challenging options out there that you should be choosing? Maybe, but save those for when your capacity is better suited for it. Next, I'm going to share my advice to feel connected with the non-integrated parent. The first is to show pictures and videos of that parent to your children each day. This made my son's day while my husband was away. His face just lit up and he would giggle at some of the videos. It's a way for your child to still feel connected. I also recommend taking some videos or pictures that you know your child will enjoy before they leave, if you happen to be listening to this beforehand. You could take a video of them reading a book or making their favorite silly noises. And send email or text updates to your partner. Include all of the photos and videos that you can, even if it doesn't seem special or important enough to capture. They are missing just seeing your faces. Anything with you in it will make them happy. And any moment that you find yourself checking to see if your spouse is looking is one to share. Is your kid doing something new and impressive? Are they doing something extra goofy? Or just being super adorable? Even if you don't get it on picture or video, make sure that you tell your partner. And even beyond your child's updates, tell your partner about your day. I learned this through my long-distance relationship with my husband prior to getting married. It didn't feel so distant if I was keeping him involved in every part of my life, even the ones that seem insignificant. These seemingly insignificant moments are the ones that make us feel closer when we are in person. Still getting to see and experience those small moments in one another's lives creates more intimacy, more connection, and more closeness. One thing that I want to include, especially if your partner is deployed or in any other incredibly stressful situation while they are away, consider their mental state and how much that they are able to take on when it comes to the negative updates. It may be challenging for them to be worrying about their spouse or children while they are dealing with some really tough situations on their own. The first time that my husband left for training, our friend passed away. He was luckily able to come home so that we could say our goodbyes, but after he went back, I fell into a deep, dark depression. I shut down, and I was grieving alone as my support system was nowhere near me. My husband was already dealing with his own grief. Being in military training was stressful enough for him, and now he had the added concern about his family back at home and whether they were okay without his support. After he returned and before he left again for another training, we had a conversation. I was aware of how it may have impacted him, and I asked him how he wanted to handle situations like that in the future. Our partners want to be involved, but their situations need to be taken into consideration as well. Set expectations first. My advice for you here is to have a conversation with your partner. Ask them what to do if there is a major emergency. What is the best way to contact them? How do they want to be notified about minor emergencies? In what situations would they not want to know about something potentially negative or bad? And don't hold judgment for them here. If they say that they don't want to know something, it's not for lack of care on their end. If anything, it's because they care too much and are not able to do a single thing about it. They care so much it hurts them. And if you are able to easily contact them while they're away, and your partner does want to know these things, I still suggest asking them, and anyone really, if they are capable of holding space for you in an emotional or stressful state. Because sometimes people just aren't in a place for it. Maybe they need to decompress a little bit first, or will need to wait until tomorrow. And that's okay. I'm sure that there are times when you are emotionally drained, overwhelmed, tapped out, and wouldn't be able to handle someone else's emotional crisis. It's never anything personal. Now, let's talk about support for you. First off, resentment is normal. Speak about it. Don't hold it in. Obviously, consider your partner's emotional state first, as we have discussed, but don't hold this feeling in the entire time that they are away, if at all possible. I did not deal with resentment during the first couple rounds of solo parenting because he was gone for military training. He was sleeping on the ground in the desert, eating some pretty terrible food, and just generally not having a good time. He would have much rather been at home. But I've dealt with resentment towards my partner plenty in motherhood. Like when I'm getting up in the middle of the night and my partner is still sleeping soundly. Or the fact that he gets breaks at work on the days when my son is refusing to sleep and needs my constant attention, and I have no breaks. Resentment can absolutely come up for you while your partner is away, especially if you are stuck inside, like during the winter with your kids and they are in a tropical location, able to enjoy happy hours or going to the beach, if they are doing anything enjoyable without having any kids to worry about. There is a way to tell your partner that you are feeling resentful without making them feel bad. When I've had this conversation with my husband, I have often started it out by reassuring him that I'm not mad at him, I don't think he's doing anything wrong, and that it's just the situation in general that sucks. This helps to approach the problem, resentment, from a team perspective. It's not me against him, it's us against the problem. That makes it easier to move on to explaining your feelings of resentment. Be clear about what it is that you need from them, whether it is a promise for a long break when they get back home, or for them to just say, that would be really hard and it does suck. I find that acknowledging and voicing this feeling of resentment keeps it from having power over you and your relationship. My next tip is go with the flow. Try not to stick to your normal schedule or even a strict schedule at all. Nap times and bedtimes are really just arbitrary. It's nice to consider wake times when considering when to put your children to sleep. But the times that I've had the most frustration surrounding sleep is when I had planned, scheduled, and fully expected my children to be asleep when I determined they would be ready to sleep, not when they were actually ready to sleep. Also, plan things loosely. If you are making plans that rely on your children being ready, you being or feeling presentable, or needing to meet with someone, try to plan it loosely. Ask for grace from whoever might be impacted by your plans, like close friends or loved ones. Let them know that you are going to be in a really tough spot. Might not be on time, but we'll keep them updated and we'll do your very best. For people or situations where you don't feel like you're able to be as relaxed with planning, like appointments or people who you know just aren't as flexible with changes in plans, I would honestly suggest delaying those plans, if at all possible. I understand that some important meetings or appointments should not be delayed, in which case, ask for outside support with your children if that's even available. Or just honestly, give it your absolute all. Try to be early, be overprepared, and plan for the worst case scenario. But mostly, just be gentle with yourself if you are stuck in that spot and things are not going as planned. You are doing your best. And call people for support, especially if you feel like you are going to lose it. Even if those people are not actually near you to come physically offer support, just having someone listen and validate your feelings can be an absolute day changer. I called one of my best friends, Katie, in my worst moments, and she reminded me how much I was handling on my own, how good I was doing, and how normal my anger, frustration, and overwhelm was. It was the release of stress and the pep talk that I needed to hop back in the ring, so to speak. Reaching out for support can really help you manage your emotions, which is my next point. Managing your emotions. Step away when you need to, even if your little one is crying. While my son was deep into his nap strike, I was exhausted, overworked, not caring for myself, and not getting a break. He had a tantrum, and I almost lost it. To manage my emotions, I made sure he was in a completely safe and baby-proofed playroom. Then I went and hid in the bathroom to do some deep breathing techniques, cry, and call one of my best friends. I needed to do that to manage my emotions. And I know that I've talked about this in my episode on ending intergenerational trauma, but for those of us who are struggling to break cycles of trauma that were handed down to us, managing our emotions is hard enough as it is with our children. It's only made more challenging while solo parenting. Go listen to that episode and my episode on how to deal with triggers. They are the only things that help me get through those moments. And now on to some more fun tips. Reward yourself in small ways. Go get a fancy coffee one morning. Put on a face mask at the end of the day. After you put your kids to bed, have your favorite dessert in your favorite pajamas watching your favorite movie. Find little ways to treat yourself along the way. And make time for self-care. Make it a priority. While the rewards don't need to be constant, the self-care should be. Now, self-care doesn't always need to be some elaborate or drawn-out thing, and it isn't always just face masks and nail polish. Sometimes it's a quick 5-minute guided meditation or taking a break to read an interesting book. I have a full list of self-care ideas and activities on my website that I look at every time I get a break. Find it in the show notes, bookmark that page, save it for a rainy day. When I get a break, I take a moment and reflect on what my needs are in that moment, because they're constantly evolving. And then I look over that list of self-care ideas and activities to find something that can help me meet that need. That is what self-care is to me, meeting your own needs, whether they feel incredibly basic or very lavish. The goal is to fill up your cup a little bit more. While solo parenting, you are constantly draining that cup, giving to your kids, giving to your home, giving to every other responsibility you are taking on by yourself. You deserve to give back to yourself. Well, friends, we just covered everything needed to survive solo parenting. Whether you are listening to this in preparation for solo parenting or right in the thick of it, please know you are not alone. And your best really is good enough. Find me on Instagram or TikTok for more support and encouragement. I am always here for you. Thank you for tuning in to the Root and Rise podcast. As always, I am so grateful to have you here with me today. I hope that this has brought you some insight and inspired you to root and rise in your own life. I love hearing from you. So please follow me on Instagram at Root and Rise Podcast, and be sure to send your comments, questions, or just reach out to say hello. I love making new friends. If you would like to review notes on today's episode, head over to rootandriseblog.com. Make sure to subscribe. And if you loved what you heard today, or know someone who would benefit from hearing it, please take a screenshot and tag me to share this on your social media. My name's Brianne, and until next time, I'll be sending you so much light so you too can root and rise.